Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now a call in for you to tell us how you listen to the lyrics of the music you love. The phones are open, 212-433-WNYC. Think about the music you listen to and call in to tell us how much the lyrics matter to you. Be honest. We all want to pretend we fully get every song. But do you really know the lyrics? Do you really even listen to the lyrics? How much do they really matter to you in your choice of music? 212-433-9692. And we got thinking about this because of something which came up during yesterday's show, which is, believe it or not, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who's going to give the State of the Union response tonight. He recently released his Spotify playlist and some of his favorite songs, among which were some songs by the rapper Tupac Shakur, which made news, and more interestingly, perhaps a song about school shootings, not endorsing school shootings, but still that was the topic. This raised some interesting questions about a possible disconnect between Rubio's politics and the lyrical content of the songs that he loves. So we'll play a clip of that school shooting song after the break. But for now, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and tell us how much do lyrics matter for the songs you love. And to help take your calls, we'll be joined by Soundcheck's John Schaefer in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we mentioned before the break, we got thinking about this question of the relationship between your music choices and the lyrics because of Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who last week released his Spotify playlist, and on there was one song in particular that caught our ear, Pumped Up Kicks by the band Foster the People. This song was a big, big hit last summer, but if you listen to the lyrics, it is about a troubled kid who turns to violence at his school. In fact, the song was removed from many radio playlists after the Sandy Hook shooting. But so you know what we're talking about, here is a bit of Pumped Up Kicks. If you can't understand the words, some of the lyrics from there or elsewhere in the song, he found a six-shooter gun in his dad's closet with a box of fun things. I don't even know what, but he's coming for you. Yeah, he's coming for you, et cetera, et cetera. John Schaefer of Soundcheck is here to help take your calls. Hi, John.
Hi.
You had this band on your show.
They played that song in our studio, and it has turned out to be one of our most popular videos. You can see it at soundcheck.org. And that song, I caught by that song too,
yeah.
You know? I mean, I heard my daughter playing it. It was like, hey, what a great song. And
I heard it in the gym.
Yeah, and, you know, went on vacation with my brother, Jerry, who you know from the WNYC softball team, and
yep.
His family, and his daughter was singing the song, and she's like 10 years old, and then suddenly we're realizing what she's singing, this cherubic little 10-year-old kid, you know, all the other kids with their fancy sneakers better – you know, see how fast they can run because I've got a gun.
So do you think that this is an example of something that most or many people listen to the music first and then maybe catch up with the lyrics?
That's exactly right. The Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Steve Reich once quoted an Italian phrase to me. He said, prima la musica, the music first. Doesn't matter what the words are. If it's a political song, you may be absolutely opposed to what the singer is saying. But if you like the music, you're going to be drawn to that song initially through the music. The words come second.
Let's take a call and see how people deal with this in their own lives. Nick in Fairfield County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hi there. I was actually thinking just the same thing, that really, for me, music comes first before lyrics even hit me. And I have a bunch of favorite songs. Got some Neil Young songs where there are some dubious lyrics that might not be saying anything, and I've been lost in Crystal Canyons too sometimes. But what definitely got me first is the chords that you hear and the overall tone that the singer's vocals produce. But I think words themselves are very secondary, and especially when it comes to gangster rap, a lot of the music that I listen to doesn't reflect almost any of my views. But that doesn't make it any less entertaining to listen to.
And I wonder if that's what Marco Rubio was getting at when he talked about growing up on Tupac.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you can sort of parse his playlist and read pretty much anything you want into it.
Yeah.
I think what you have is a guy who likes these songs and wasn't thinking politically necessarily when he put the playlist out.
Right, and plus, you know, when you talk about Tupac Shakur or Notorious B.I.G., that music was just around when he was coming up.
Also, there are people who find, for every person who finds Tupac Shakur's lyrics to be violent and, you know, filled with you know, hate and anger, there's another person who's going to find those lyrics to be incredibly uplifting and affirming. The chef Eddie Wong, for example, in his new memoir, Fresh Off the Boat, refers to Tupac specifically as someone who, to this son of immigrants trying to find his way in white America, actually spoke to him on a really profound level.
And in fact, we mentioned yesterday that what Rubio said about Tupac's lyrics was that he wasn't advocating gangster rap or gangster lifestyles,
right.
That a lot of gangster rap was really reporting on what was going on in certain hoods.
Right. And if you look at the tradition of rock songs about drugs, there is not a single one of those songs, really, that could not be seen as being both pro-drug use and anti-drug use. You know, a song like Captain Jack, you know, by Billy Joel. Captain Jack will get you high tonight. Well, mm-hmm. What does that mean? Billy Joel says it's a cautionary tale. It's an anti-drug song. But you can, you know, the listener brings their own interpretation to a song.
Paula in Syosset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paula.
Hi. One of my favorite songs by Sarah McLachlan, Adia.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful song, hauntingly beautiful, but as many times as I've listened to it, I still have no idea what she's singing about.
So it's almost like opera, then.
Pretty much, yeah.
Adia is like Aida, is that what you're saying? But do you is that part of the charm for you, Paula, is that she's a poet and you're trying to puzzle out what she actually means in her lyrics? Or it's just
possibly.
Sort of beside the point?
Possibly it is me just trying to figure it out. But I've actually seen her on a few interview shows where she's questioned about that song and she doesn't seem to give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Or doesn't seem to want to give an answer.
You know, one of the things with the internet, of course, is you can type in the name of that song plus lyrics, and you will be taken to a lyrics site that may not have all of the exact right lyrics, but it'll get you pretty close.
And one of the comments that we're getting right on point of what you said a minute ago, John, a lot of comments that we're getting on our page is that people are citing rock and opera as the two best examples of genres of not knowing lyrics. For folk singing fans, it obviously matters a lot more.
Right. And you know what's curious is take a song, some of the songs that Johnny Cash recorded late in his career that he got from the rock world, Hurt, originally by Nine Inch Nails, which was a pretty striking song the first go-round. But man, to hear Johnny Cash sing it with this spare, bleak accompaniment with the words pushed right in front of your face, this really dark, intense song about drug abuse and addiction, the words are very much what lure you in and keep you in, sort of strike at your heart.
Paul in Baldwin, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I think that, you know, I'm 59 years old, so I grew up in the 60s, 70s. I think that we, you know, overanalyzed all the songs. I think we spent a lot of time trying to analyze the lyrics. And I think there was a letdown. There was a lot of energy put in. There was a letdown through the years where a lot of these rock stars, John Lennon, certainly, I'll never forget an interview where he just said, you know, I really didn't mean anything because I was just high. I don't even recall writing it. So it was like a bit of a letdown. So for decades, there was no, I paid no attention to lyrics. Then later in life, a little bit of a different venue, Christian community with some contemporary Christian rock, where I really have to work on focusing on the lyrics, because there's great topics to meditate on, there are great things to listen to, so I changed it. As far as the venue of the rock is concerned and the pop music, it's the music first, like your interviewer said, the music comes first, the lyrics, these aren't poet laureates, you know.
Yes.
So thanks.
Thank you. And Liba, do I have your name right? In Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I have always focused on lyrics as a kid. When I was first coming into my own music-wise, I thought of music as poetry and tried to analyze lyrics, and I was very disappointed as I grew up to realize that most songs are just repeating the same ideas and aren't poetic in any way. But to this day, even if I listen to a song in another language, I will look up the lyrics, and if the lyrics don't mean anything or are just silly things, and the song will be less interesting to me, because I care about lyrics and I care about meaning.
Liba, thank you very much.
That's interesting. You know, I was mentioning before how you can go on websites and find out lyrics to songs, even some pretty obscure ones. And, you know, I've sort of learned not to do that, because I've had songs that I thought, wow, there's a sense of mystery to this, and that I got to know the words. And then you type in the song title, and that's what they're singing? I've ruined the song for myself.
I want to get one more in here. Evie in Ridgewood. Evie, we've got about 30 seconds for you. Hi.
Yes, for me, the comment is more of a generational gap thing. I'm in the military. I'm 44. And when I talk to young people in their 20s and maybe even 18, 20, early 20s, they're using those words that they listen to in that music to actually use as a communicative tool to talk to me. And I literally have to stop them and say, hey, listen, can you rephrase that? Because I don't have any idea of what you're saying. So the lyrics have come into play with young people listening to these
really
things over and over again.
And that's an example of people hearing the lyrics and really internalizing the lyrics. John Schaefer of Soundcheck, thank you for helping us lead this conversation.
My pleasure.
Insightful. Folks, you can see the video of Foster the People playing Pumped Up Kicks on our website from Soundcheck. And tune in tonight for Soundcheck's State of the Union pregame special at 8 o'clock for a live call-in about the state of American music. And then you can watch and live chat alongside the State of the Union address starting at 9 with me and others on WNYC.org.